expectation that one day things will change, but it's almost too good to be true, almost too much hope for perhaps. And that's perhaps what Mary was thinking when she went to the tomb. She was thinking, Jesus is dead and buried. We're going to hear now, though, everything changes in a moment, in an instant. And you'll listen to this next reading. Hannah and Charlotte are going to come and read for us. Listen out for the words of Jesus when he says, Mary, why are you crying?
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one on the head and the other one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher.
Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thank you. So we see that this all changed because Mary, thinking the tomb was empty, thought maybe somebody's stolen the body, but actually it was the reality that Jesus had come back to life. And Jesus asks her that question, "Why are you crying?" And maybe we could just think about that question ourselves this morning, because when Jesus came back to life, it wasn't just a case of Jesus giving us eternal life, or meaning that we will never die or something like that. I mean, there's beautiful meaning in that too. But more importantly, perhaps, what's happening here is here's the Jesus who loved to the point of death, who never gave up on love, who said that love is the way, who said that forgiveness is the way, who said that non-violence is the way, that sacrifice is the way. And it looked like that way had failed. It looked like that way had been destroyed when Jesus died. But actually, Jesus coming back to life means that love wins, that love triumphs, that way that sometimes doesn't seem like it works. And I think we all experience that. Sometimes it feels like power and violence and hatred and fear are what really work and that what really rule the world. But Jesus coming back to life tells us something different. So we can reflect on all the different things in our own life where maybe we are crying right now, where we're feeling pain, where we're feeling struggle, where we're feeling difficulty, or perhaps when we're looking at the world and it feels almost overwhelming with when we look at all the pain, all the difficulty, all the struggle. We can listen to that question, why are we crying? And perhaps look at Jesus as a source of incredible hope that love can win, that love will win. So we're going to reflect a little bit more on some of the words of Jesus for the rest of this service. But we're going to sing another song now, which you'll find in your outlines or in the program. So why don't we, if we're able, let's all stand and sing together.
near the tomb. As earth begins to wake, the shadows pierced by dawn's first light. Angels descend, the ground begins to shake. Why do you seek the crucified?
Jesus who could come up to her and talk to her. And that's why she didn't recognize him when he was talking to her. She thought that Jesus was history. He was dead and gone, when actually he was more alive than ever before. She just wanted to wrap up the body, but Jesus was there talking to her, saying, who is it you are looking for? And that question is actually a really good one for us too. Because the message of Easter is that Jesus didn't just die 2,000 years ago, but that Jesus is alive today and is with us by his Spirit, helping us to live that same way that he did, that life of love and hope. Jesus loved telling stories. Our Bible's full of stories that Jesus told, and lots of them are about looking for things and finding them and being really, really happy when you find them. And one story he told is about a man. He's out in a field, maybe a field like this, wandering through, catches something gleaming in the sunshine, maybe, and he rushes over and starts to dig and realizes it's buried treasure. Wow, amazing, so exciting. But he doesn't own the field. So he covers it back up, keeps it a top secret, doesn't tell anyone, and goes to the man and says, you know, who owns the field? I'd like to buy it, you know, just for my sheep, you know. Nothing going on. I just want to buy this field. But he's not a rich man, so he has to sell everything he owns so he can buy the field. But he knows it's worth it because it's got treasure in it. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is like that. Following my way is like that. It could cost you everything, but it's so worth it because there's treasure in it. Living the way of Jesus is full of treasure. So worth it. Now, often at Easter, we go hunting, right? We have an Easter egg hunt. I don't know if you know, but Easter egg hunts started about 500 years ago in Germany. A man called Martin Luther started these hunts. He would hide regular eggs, not chocolate ones. So I hate to think about the eggs that didn't get found, but let's not think about that. The men would actually all go and hide eggs, and then the women and the children would go and find the eggs. And it was a way of illustrating how the women went to go and find Jesus and how we too want to go and find Jesus and follow in the way of Jesus. So we're going to have a little Easter egg hunt now. So if kids want to come up, and kids applies to all ages, well, I shouldn't say all ages, grade school all ages, not you adults, I know you're so coming up, and I have some youth that are going to help you to find some eggs. Oh, great. Oh, you got some great costumes this morning. Come on, guys. Wow. Lots of helpers. So my youth helpers are here. If you follow them, they will help you. And these eggs are going to help us to tell the story. Hi there, buddy. Come on along. So go over that way and follow the youth. And while they're finding eggs to finish the story, we will... I hope we've got enough. Where did you all come from? It's like you come out of the ground. Ah, that's a lot of kids. Right, okay, no worries. This could be a 5 loaves and 2 fishes kind of a story. But while they're doing that, we will sing some songs. So if you would like, please stand and we will sing.
Is it forever? Hey. has begun in me.
And be glad in me.
This is the day when the Spirit came. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day. This is the day when the Spirit came.
This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord.
Because Jesus is alive, I don't need to be afraid.
Alive, I am never alone.
Excellent reading, thank you.
Because Jesus is alive, I know how much God loves me.
Thank you.
Because Jesus is alive, I know love is always the answer.
Because Jesus is alive, I can be brave.
Awesome. Anybody else got a message?
Because Jesus is alive, he will help me be kind.
Excellent. Any more messages? We're good? Somebody good? It's enough messages anyway. Yes, so. So the real treasure, the message is the real treasure is actually in Jesus. It's not really in it. It's in Jesus and the way of love that Jesus asked us to live. And that's wonderful, but you can't eat it, can you? So, well, then you don't need to trade your egg. You can just keep your plastic one. Everybody else, feel free to trade in your plastic eggs and get chocolate eggs over there. And one chocolate egg each, and please take it back to your family before you eat it. Matthew? And then you can go back to your seat. Okay.
Please do feel free to sit down if you'd like to sit down. We didn't let you sit down. So. But thanks for following the rules. So we're coming to the part in our service where in a moment we're going to have communion together and another opportunity to do a few activities. So we're going to reflect on some other words of Jesus now, because the good news of Easter, the good news about the resurrection, it's not just good news for us. I mean, it's really good news for us as individuals, and it was really good news for Jesus's friends, his disciples, his followers. But it's more than that. It's so much more than that. It's actually really good news for the whole world. And actually, Jesus, in coming back to life, calls us into living out the resurrection, living out this good news, living out love and peace and hope in the world. And Colin's going to come and read for us now some of the words that Jesus said when he appeared to his disciples. Because just after he appeared to Mary, he appeared to more than, you know, all his disciples, all his closest disciples. And Colin's going to tell us about that now.
To fiddle with it. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the religious authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Thanks, Colin. So one of the things we've been looking at over Lent is just how breath was this metaphor, or even perhaps more than just a symbol. It was the very presence of God with people. So the same word is often used for breath and spirit. And so Jesus is breathing his spirit, the divine spirit, the mysterious breath of God into his disciples, just as Jesus is breathing that into us now. So all of us here right now, and including on Zoom, why don't we just take in a deep breath and take in that good news, take in what Jesus is saying to us and breathe it out into the world. And we can live in that kind of rhythm, breathing in the life of God and breathing it out into the world as we seek to be people who bring about healing and reconciliation through love. Now, Jesus went on to say later in another gospel, Matthew's gospel, right at the end of that gospel, I think some very telling words, which Colin's going to read.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me."
So Jesus said, we're to go out and make disciples. And that doesn't mean beating people up or hitting people over the head with the Bible or trying to force people into or scare people into becoming religious or anything like that. It simply means helping other people live in the way of Jesus, live in this way of love, love and acceptance and forgiveness, of hope and peace. And so we get to participate in that. And that's really, in many respects, what we're celebrating today. It's one thing to celebrate an historic event. It's another thing to celebrate the present moment and what we can bring into the future. And that's all about the resurrection. So today we've got several ways of celebrating that and kind of reminding ourselves of that we get to participate. One thing is going to be after the service, when we get to enjoy cupcakes together. Amanda will be going around taking photos and with a little caption you can hold. So it's an opportunity for a family photo with a caption that says, "We are part of the Easter story." So look out for that after the service. But during the service, we're going to take communion. And unless the people who are sat at the tables with all the bread and wine on it have eaten it already, there should be plenty to go around. We've got, it's actually grape juice in the jugs and bottles. And then we have bread. And there's plenty of bread. So there's probably not enough for one roll each, but you may want to share a roll. But if you'd rather not share the roll, for whatever reason, hygiene reasons included, please just feel free to take one of the rolls and have it yourself. But in a moment, we'll just break and we'll go to the different tables where you can see the elements, the fruit juice and the bread. There's a station here right at the front where Ruth is sat, which has gluten-free bread. So if you need gluten-free, that's where it is. And there's plenty. So take plenty and there's plenty of juice. And it's an opportunity, as we always celebrate with communion, to remember Jesus and to celebrate God's presence with us now. And that presence means we're empowered to live a certain way, to live this way of love. And so the other thing we're going to do today, you may have, when you came in this morning, if I've got mine, yes, you've got a little piece of paper, right? Has everybody got one of those? And I think we have some pens around that you could be able to write on with. So this piece of paper says, "I will be hope sent into the world by ... And what that means is, like, what kind of hope do you want to be? It might be something you're doing at the moment, some way you're bringing hope into the world, some way you feel like you're representing and embodying that way of love. It may be something that you're doing already. And, you know, write that down. And then we're all going to come up and pin those up onto the cross, on the wooden part, during the communion time. But it might be something you feel like, I really want to do this. I'm not doing it yet, but I'm feeling challenged to do it. Or maybe it's something you used to do, but you know, just got out of the habit, or you've just stopped doing it for some reason. Whatever it is, whatever way you are going to represent hope, write it down, and then during the communion time, in your own time, just come and pin it on. There's some pins at the bottom of the cross there. Pin it onto the cross as that symbol of hope and a statement of, we are sent ones. We're going into the world. As soon as we leave here, we're already in the world. living out this message of Jesus. So we're going to have communion, though, as well, and that will be an opportunity for us all to move around and participate. And Addie is going to come up and lead us in the communion prayer. So this is a responsive prayer. It's in your programs. So just respond at the part where it says all. Sorry, Addie. Did I hit your head then?
God, the empty grave shouts to us, you are with us. The bread speaks to us of your constant living presence, you are with us. The wine tells us of your love flowing out to everyone, you are with us. Together may we flow with love into all the world. You are with us. Amen.
So please come forward and take bread and wine at the table.
Mercy, for heaven come. you're able, stand and sing along with us as we sing our closing song. God above.
Service. Thank you so much for coming, everybody. Feel free to take your time if you want to pin things to the cross. Well, that's not going anywhere. We'll leave that up there. So, and then after the service, we have cupcakes, as I mentioned. So, you know, help yourselves to cupcakes and mingle around. Amanda will be going around taking photos. So you get a family photo, and we'll email that to you as well. So let's just really enjoy being together on this incredibly beautiful day. Again, thank you to everyone on Zoom for joining us too. Also wanted to invite you back. Obviously, we're here every Sunday at 10 a.m. Usually we're indoors, but sometimes we're outdoors. So everyone is very welcome to come anytime. We'll be starting a new series next Sunday. But the Sunday after that, which is the 23rd of April, we're going to have one of our day of services, which is where we spend the whole time gathering as a church, going out and serving in our local community and here on our property as well, including on our farm. So just want to invite you to come back and join us for that. We have a little bit of breakfast together before, you know, just a light breakfast beforehand around 9 a.m. And then at 10 a.m. we head out on all our different projects. So please do join us. We're going to say our benediction to close the service now. It's in your program. So let's all say this together. Let us celebrate and shout for joy. Christ is risen. He sends us out into this broken world to bring the good news of hope and healing We go in peace, knowing he is with us always. Amen. Thanks so much, everybody. Happy Easter. Happy Easter.